All right, well, thank you, Pastor Josh, for that recap from the senior high youth retreat that just happened last weekend, and I'm excited to see that. I'm glad to see that, and I hope that you guys in the youth group know, and not just from Pastor Josh having put together a video like that, but from all of us at the church, just how important you are to us, how much we love you, and how much we want to see good things in your life. Well, I want to welcome you, all of you, back to week three, the final week of our Get Messy series. And I want to say welcome back, especially to Pastor Carl, who's back from his sabbatical. Anyone who has gotten tired of me this summer can rest assured that next week, Pastor Carl is on deck for a sermon. He's ready to get back at it. He's got so much stored up and so much energy from his sabbatical that he's ready to bring it next week. But I have really, really enjoyed the chance over this summer to preach a lot, to get up here and talk with you and see what God is doing in our hearts and minds. It's been exciting to see. I was just telling Pastor Carl this week how each series, each message has impacted different people in different ways, and how encouraging that is for me to see people encouraging one another and thinking about different parts of our faith journey together and different things about their own personal relationship with God. So if you have missed anything from this summer, if you were on vacation, if you had a baseball game to go to, if you got hit with too many water balloons and couldn't get out of bed, whatever it was that kept you from being here, I want to encourage you to go back and check and catch up on our YouTube channel with some of the messages that you might have missed, because every single week had something special for you to enjoy. But as we get done with this message series that we're in, the Get Messy series, hopefully you're not tired of it yet, it's only 3 weeks long. As we get done with the Get Messy series, I have really enjoyed the conversations that have been coming out of this series. In the first week, we heard Tony Brubaker give us a heartfelt message about the fact that we, Christians, friends, lovers of Jesus, we have good news to share with the world, and it makes a big difference when we do that. And then in the second week, last week, I talked about how God calls us as believers in Jesus to go, to share the good news with all kinds of people. Doesn't matter if they're like us, not like us, if they think or look like us, or if they don't. We are called to go and share the good news with people. Well, today, on the last week, it is my honor to share this platform with my wife, Sarah, for the very first time ever anywhere. This is the debut of us team preaching together, and we're going to talk about what it looks like to live out the good news in and among the lives of people. So first, I want to introduce you to a friend that Sarah and I made recently. This is Teresa. Watch this. Oh, well, there was a second part to that, but that's okay. So you saw Teresa there singing. This was actually taken, this video was taken on our family vacation to Myrtle Beach that happened in July. And so when we were down in Myrtle Beach, our family found a restaurant that had three things that we find irresistible, right? What do you look for in a good restaurant? Good food, right? A reasonable price, right? And a short wait time. How often do you get those three things at a restaurant these days? It's hard to find. And we found it, and we loved it so much, we went 2 days in a row. And so we watched Teresa sing 2 days in a row. That was the bonus that we got from going to this restaurant that we didn't expect, was we got all those three things, plus we got in the middle of our service, or in the middle of the dinner service, we got Teresa belting out gospel songs out of nowhere while she's cleaning tables. It was really cool. Later, Sarah and I got a chance to talk with Teresa. And we asked her, like, tell us about you. Tell us, why do you do this? Like, this is unusual for us. We go to a restaurant, you don't usually hear somebody start singing in the middle of dinner. So why do you do this? And here's what Teresa said.
I only sing gospel music. People need hope. And if I can give them that, then I want to. I just want people to know Jesus and what he's done for me.
The spirit of this woman was absolutely beautiful. You could tell that Teresa genuinely loves every single person that walks through the door of the restaurant she works at. She actually told us a story about a man who came in and he was so drunk that he could barely stand in the buffet line for food. Teresa said this,
"I sang Amazing Grace that night, and when I walked by the table, he grabbed onto my arm. His shirt was all covered in tears, and he looked at me and he said, 'I haven't heard that song in so long,' and he thanked me. The next time he came in, he looked like you and me. His eyes were clear. I just want to give people Jesus."
I just want to give people Jesus. That's the core of this series, Get Messy, that we're in. We don't live in a church building, right? We're not surrounded by people all the time who believe or think just like us either. The fact that we share this church family in common is just an outward expression of the faith we're living and pursuing together. This place we come to on Sundays, this building, this isn't the core of who we are and the world we live in. We are the church. I am the church. You are the church. We are the church, right? And the church we talked about last week is called to go. It's not just a place you come to, as some people in the world might think. The church is called to go. We are a moving, living organism. The whole point of being the church together is that we are on a mission together. We are carriers of hope. Can I get an amen? We are carriers of hope to our world, to every person in our circle of influence, whether that's a family you've always known or whether that's somebody you just met today. I think Teresa is a great example of someone who is a carrier of hope. You know, she is living out the good news of Jesus in front of people. Everyone she meets, people that she knows, people that she hasn't personally met yet, doesn't matter. She lives out the good news. She shares it with everyone she can. And the reason that my heart is so warmed by Teresa is because just like her, I want people to know Jesus. I want them to know what he's done for me. God's redemption, don't miss this, God's redemption and his restoration power is for everyone. I'm going to say it again louder for the people in the back. God's redemption and his restoration power is for everyone. Can you say everyone?
Everyone.
Everyone. And God is asking his church, that's you and that's me, to live out the good news in the lives of people so that they will be drawn to him. Not to us, but to him. So today, Sarah and I want to share with you some stories that are going to help us think about how to do that. Sarah.
So when I was in school, When I was in school, there were different levels of popularity. And I'm sure that a lot of you either had that before or... Yeah, I think we're cutting in and out.
Mm-hmm. We're going to fix that.
All righty. Should I just leave this?
This is useful when you do this together. You got somebody right up here to back you up.
Perfect.
All right. So let's try this again. I'm going to start again. All right. So when I was in school, there were lots of different levels of popularity. And so being from a small school in a small town, you had the same kids all throughout school. So there was... You know, the popular kids. They were good-looking, athletic, maybe they came from wealthier families. They pretty much just socialized and talked to each other. Then there were kind of in-the-middle kids, which is kind of where I found myself. You know, I had some friends. I didn't have a lot, but I had some friends. But then there were the social outcasts. The ones that maybe they came from poor families, maybe they weren't as attractive as the popular kids, and maybe they didn't have the best hygiene. And one of these students was named Katie. I tried to be kind to her, but I didn't really want to be, like, affiliated with her. So I would, you know, I'd be friendly. I would say hello to her. I would smile at her. But I didn't want to spend too much time with her, because I was afraid of what others might think of me. And I was afraid that I was going to lose friends. So fast forward several years, and God has continued to give me opportunities to get messy and to get involved in the lives of others. About 9 years ago, I was part of a ladies' group from a church that met weekly to connect with each other and to study the Bible together. There was a young woman who came to that group, and her name was Bailey. Bailey was a single mom of three boys, and she was pregnant with a little girl. And the boys had two different dads, and she wasn't sure who the dad was of the new baby. As time went on, I built a friendship with her. I really wanted to be able to speak into her life however I could. When she was about 7 months into her pregnancy, she was having contractions, and she called me to take her to the hospital. It turned out that she was not in labor yet. So I continued to spend time with her over the summer and take her places that she needed to go to get things that she needed. We fulfilled her cravings. I just really tried to pour into her life. And we ended up going to the hospital six more times. One of those times, she was in prodromal labor, which means that it was intense. It was labor, but her body wasn't actually progressing. It wasn't working. And that night, we ended up staying overnight in the hospital. We weren't prepared for that. So it was summer, so I was in shorts and a t-shirt and the air conditioning. I was freezing cold and had to sleep in a chair and didn't really sleep. But I stayed with her all night. And the last visit, she finally gave birth to her little girl. And I think we have a picture. There she is, me holding the little baby. So I got to be there when she gave birth to her daughter. And it was the only time that I've ever witnessed someone giving birth. And it was an experience I'll never forget. I was in awe of how amazing God is and how he created us. I got messy. I dove right into the messiness of Bailey's life. Unfortunately, she did not stay on the course that I tried to help her find. She has continued to make poor choices, and I no longer have contact with her. I spent so much time with her, pouring into her life and loving on her in practical ways to show God's love to her. And I tried to help her walk the path that God had for her. But she chose to go her own way. Does that mean that all of my time and my effort were wasted? No, it doesn't. Does it sometimes feel like that? It can. But I know that God had me in her life for a reason during that season. People may come and go in your life. You may not have a long time with them, but what you do with that time is what's really important.
That's right.
When we step into someone's mess and we try to help them, there's no guarantee that they're going to go the way that we want them to go. But everything that we do still matters, and it can still have an impact later. God used me to be what she needed during that time, and I may not ever get to see the impact of that, but that does not mean that God will not use what we walked through together that summer later in her life.
You know, I've watched my wife do such a great job reaching out to people over the years that we've been married. I am so proud of you for that, the way that you are not afraid to get into people's messes with them. That's what we've been talking about during this series, that life gets messy and that we can sometimes get messy too if we're willing to walk through life with somebody else. And that's what I've seen Sarah do many times. I'm so proud of how she loves people that others might sit back and judge. You know, Jesus had a way of connecting with people who might be judged or outcast by others. So much so that he became known as the leader who would eat with tax collectors and sinners, right? And that wasn't a compliment. Nobody said that, meaning to say, hey, good job. Rather, the Pharisees looked down on him for that, and they expected everybody else to feel that same way about him. I want you to look with me at Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and he followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call those not who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." So here goes Jesus again, right? Getting in tight with a tax collector. What on earth is this guy thinking? Well, maybe he wasn't thinking about earth at all, but about a spiritual relationship that is much more important than the human point of view. That's what Sarah's been talking about. When Pharisees asked Jesus, "Why would you do this?" And actually, they didn't ask him, they asked his buddies. "Why is he doing this?" Jesus had a great answer for them. He said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do." Jesus came to the people who had a need for him. And that includes the Pharisees, by the way. They just didn't see it. We know that the Pharisees felt like they could be good enough to get to heaven by their own efforts. That's what all of their actions and all their responses seem to say. We can get this right, and we can be right with God. But that isn't the way it works. Jesus says to the Pharisees, he says, "Hey guys, listen. I don't care very much about your religious efforts and your rituals and your sacrifices. What I really want you to learn is how to show mercy. Then you're going to be on the right track, because you'll realize that your need for me is just as great as anyone's." See, the Pharisees were always focused on the scum of other people's lives, and they didn't really pay attention to their own. Jesus wanted to help them do that. He wanted to help them see themselves more clearly. And so he does this here by modeling for them the way that he wants us to care for people. And as we look at this example of Jesus in the life of Matthew and then his ministry as a whole, I think there are three roles that Jesus takes on in the life of Matthew and other people. First, Jesus takes on the role of a friend. Jesus is being a friend. See, when the world says to you, "You're not worth my time," Jesus says, "Come with me." That's what he said to Matthew. Secondly, Jesus is being what he would later become for all of us in this story. He's being a savior. He's being a redeemer. When the world sees you as worthless, Jesus gives you back your worth through him. He's your friend, he's your savior and redeemer. And third, Jesus is Lord. His words to Matthew here are, "Follow me and be my disciple." So if you remember, last week I talked about Jesus' words in the Great Commission and how his words were, "Go and make disciples." So at least he's consistent. He lives it out. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our lives, your life, my life, and the people that we're called to go and share the good news with. And his words here about calling people who think they are sinners should strike a chord with us. It should resonate with each one of us as we consider the calling on our lives to make disciples. Because when I look back on my life, I think about all the mercy God has shown to me. What amazing grace God has poured out on me, not only to give me the life that I have now, but to share my life with others in a way that hopefully ministers to them and makes a difference for God's kingdom. So we talk as a church about blessing our neighbors and being like Jesus to them. And when we talk about that, when we think about how we do that, we can't forget that there is power in our testimony. Look back on your life. What mercy has God shown you? What grace has he poured out in your life? What has he delivered you from? What has he saved you from? How has he been your friend? How has he been your redeemer? And how is he your Lord? Share that testimony. Because we have experienced the transforming power of God through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that means we get to turn around to our neighbors and we get to introduce them to Jesus and say, "This is my friend, this is my Savior, this is my Lord." We have good news to share. We have a story to tell. And we're going to do that through our words and our actions. We're going to do that by living out our relationship with Jesus in our relationships with other people. So whatever season of life you're in today, whatever context you find yourself in on a daily basis, you are, my friends, the light of the world. You are called to live out the good news in front of other people and to infuse it into every relationship you have.
All right. So in the next week or two, students are going to be returning to school. I know students, me too. Teachers feel the same way you guys do, believe it or not. So now this is going to be a little different, but I'm a little different. I'm a teacher, so here's what we're going to do. If you are a student, if you are in elementary, middle school, or high school, I want you to stand up. All students, stand up right where you are. Yep, stand up, students. We're taking a little stretch break because, you know, you got to sit and listen to us talk for a long time. Ready? Stretch up. Stretch it. Yep, stretch up. Stretch down. Don't bump your head on the pew, though. All right, try not to hit your neighbor. Stretch it to the side. Stretch it to the other side. Roll those shoulders. Oh, yeah, the stretches feel good. Roll your neck. All right, shake it out. Sit down. All right. Good. See, now you're ready to listen to me because, kids and youth, this next part is for you. All right. So, at the beginning, I shared a story about a student that I knew named Katie. And with Katie, I missed it. I could have gone so much deeper with her, and I could have been a real friend to her. But I was so worried about what others would think of me that I didn't do it. I missed that chance. School can be hard. Social relationships can be really hard. And I think it's even harder for you guys now than it was for us. If you say the wrong thing, if you do the wrong thing, or wear the wrong thing, or act the wrong way, then that can really have an impact of what others think about you. But here's what I want you to know. It does not matter what others think about you. What matters is what Jesus says about you.
Right.
Do not be more concerned about what others think about you than you are about what Jesus thinks about you. Jesus doesn't care about your social status. He doesn't care about mine either, but I allowed my identity to get wrapped up in that. Your identity, who you are, is in who God says that each of you are.
That's right.
So here are some things that God says about you. You are chosen. You are a child of God. You are loved.
Yes.
You are accepted. You are accepted by Jesus. It does not matter if you are accepted by your peers, because you are accepted by the one who made you.
Mm-hmm.
You are created for a purpose. God has a plan for each of you. You are treasured.
Yes.
And you are a masterpiece.
Yes.
You are amazing.
Praise the Lord.
You are all of these things, kids. Kids and youth, all of you. You are all these things, and you are so much more. And so is Katie, and so is every person that you come in contact with, every single person in this room. Whether you come in contact with kids at school or people on the sports field or in your job, everywhere you go, God loves them and God loves you.
Right.
It doesn't matter, kids and youth, how much money your parents make. It doesn't matter what clothes you wear, how you smell. Showers are good, but it doesn't matter how you smell, how smart you are, or who your friends are, because none of that matters.
Right.
What matters is that the creator of the universe loves you.
Right.
All right. A second point. That was my first point. Here's my second one. God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be compassionate.
Ooh, preach it.
Ooh, that one kind of hurts a little. He doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be compassionate. Now, am I always easy to love?
No comment.
Smart man. Smart man. Yeah. The answer is no. I am not always easy to love. But God still loves me. He still loves me, messiness and all. And are you going to come in contact with people who are hard to love? Yes. Yes, you are. Probably every day. Maybe even in your own house. But God loves us. And when we own that identity, when we truly believe that God loves us, then we can push beyond our insecurities and our uncertainties and really love others well. Sometimes that means we have to step out of our comfort zones and we've got to do hard things. We have to talk to people that we wouldn't normally talk to, people who don't look like us or act like us or think like us. God wants us to be compassionate. So I Googled the definition of compassionate, because compassionate sounds like a pretty word, doesn't it? Well, compassionate means to suffer together. Ooh, sounds lovely. No, compassionate is suffering together. So being compassionate requires us to step into the mess of somebody else, to walk alongside them and love them through whatever they are going through. God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be compassionate. Mm-hmm. And my last point. Sometimes getting messy is not scheduled. It's spontaneous. Most of you know we have three kids. We have one in elementary school, one in middle school, and one in high school. And they keep us very busy. I am the keeper of the schedule and the planner in the family. We have an app on our phones that we use, and it's a calendar that each of us can see what's going on. But being old school, I have to have things written down. So we may have a picture. Our calendar is, like, full. That's just August. That's not even school starting yet. I don't know if you can see. There's, like, writing, scribbling, white out everywhere. Yeah. So
just be thankful it's not color-coded.
Yeah, so that's probably good. You can take that down if you want. But I just wanted to give you an idea. Things are busy. I have to be able to see things at a glance, so that's why I have to have it, like, all written out. So that's an example, and things are going to get busier in September. But here's the thing. Jesus doesn't want us to only serve people when it fits in our schedule.
That's right.
There is definitely value. Now, I know a lot of you do schedule time to serve, to volunteer, and that is awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. But there are going to be times that needs arise that are not going to fit in our schedule. As our kids have gotten older, I have wanted to be the mom that my kids' friends feel comfortable around. I want them to feel safe and loved when they are with us. There have been times that Callie has come to me with needs her friends have. Like one of her friends, who is a cheerleader with her, got a concussion and had to sit out for a lot of the games. And she was so bummed. So Callie and I went shopping, and we put together a gift basket, and we brought it to her to cheer her up, to help fill her time while she was stuck at home and couldn't be in school and in her games. And then there's another time where Callie has a friend who she got COVID. And her mom was in Florida, so she was home alone. I'm in my 40s, and I still want my mommy when I'm sick. You know? Like, that's got to be so hard. So Callie and I went and picked up some things that she needed and a couple things to cheer her up, too. We brought it to her house, and through the glass door, we kind of chatted with her a little bit. That friend is here. So nice for her to come today. But we got to, you know, we got to be Jesus to her and do something nice for her. Lately, there have been times when Callie has asked me last minute to have friends over. Now, our home is not really the most up-to-date. It is not the neatest. Because of our busy schedule, we often run in, drop our bags or our musical instruments. Yes, we have a lot of musical instruments in our living room. Big surprise, I know. So we'll have, like, stuff all over our living room. Piles of papers might be on the counter. We might have clean laundry folded on the couch. So it's dishes in the sink. It's kind of a mess. And usually if I know people are coming, I do that, like, you run around the house and do as much as you can, as fast as you can thing to clean it up. But I don't always have that time because Gally's like, hey, Mom, can this friend come over for dinner? And sure. So here's the thing. I could say no to her when she asks me to do that. But I would be missing out if I did that. Sometimes loving others isn't just about getting into their mess, but it's about allowing them into yours. Whether that's our messy house or sharing your story with them. Mm-hmm. Being your real, authentic self.
Yeah.
Being vulnerable and allowing people in can really show love to them.
Yeah.
I don't think that when Callie's friends come over, that they're looking for a perfect house or a five-star meal. You know, sometimes we do have time to make them a nice meal. Sometimes when they come back from the gym, it might be, here's some cold pizza in the fridge. You know, whatever you can find. But, you know, I don't think that's what they're looking for. Don't let your mess be a hindrance to loving others. Knowing that you are not perfect and that you are messy too can actually be a comfort to somebody, and it can draw them to you. Be ready to serve and love others well, even when it may not fit into your schedule. Now, in the next week or two, as we mentioned, many of our students will be going back to school, and many teachers and school staff have already gone back. I was in this week, and I know other teachers who are here that have been back this week too. So I have a picture of, this is going to be my classroom for the next 2 months. Normally, I'm a kindergarten aide, but I have the opportunity this fall to sub for our music teacher who is out on maternity leave until November. So this is where I'll be spending a lot of my time. Now, back to my kindergarten aide position, which is my normal job, which I'll be going back to in November. Talk about getting messy in kindergarten. As a kindergarten aide, in addition to helping with academics, I spend a lot of time tying shoes, cleaning tables, doing all sorts of weird things that aren't really in the job description. You never know what random things will pop up. Like, there was one time that I had a student who thought it'd be really fun to go into the bathroom and take a handful of soap and rub it all through his hair to make his hair all spiky. He tried to tell me it was sweat, but I could tell it was soap because it was like bubbles. So I had the job of washing his hair in the sink and getting all of the soap out. Or there was another time when I was bending down to tie a little guy's shoe and he went to pull his sweatshirt sleeve up in his mouth so he could chew on it. And when he pulled that sweatshirt sleeve up, up came my hair with it right into his mouth. Mm-hmm. Or the time where I had a student who, the poor guy would just get so overwhelmed and he would have meltdowns and be crying. And the only way to get him to calm down would be for me to pick him up and just hold him while he sobbed on my shoulder. And he just soaked and snotted through my shirt. And Jeremy had to bring me a clean shirt. So, yeah, my job is physically, very physically messy, but it is messy in other ways, too. Many of our students come from broken families. Many have parents who don't seem well-equipped to care for them. We have students who are foster children, and we have many students who come from low-income families, and some of them are even homeless. We also have the emotional support program in our district. My school houses it for all 7 elementary schools, so anybody, in any elementary student in the district that has emotional or behavioral needs, they come to our school. So I see my job not only as a job, but as a ministry. I have the opportunity to show love to these kids, even if it's just for a short time each day. They love it when I smile at them, when I say hello to them and I use their name, when I speak calmly and kindly to them, and to let them know that they're valuable and loved. I often have kids that are just like, I need a hug. No, of course I'll give you a hug, you know? I have worked with thousands of students. I've been in education for a long time in different roles, but I've worked with thousands of students of all different ages during my years in education. And it would be easy for me to say, I only see them for a short time. You know, what difference can I really make? Or to get discouraged and feel like I can't really make a difference when I work with so many students. But even the smallest act of kindness can make a huge difference. Those small acts really do have a big impact. Now, you know, this is the first time that I have ever done anything like this. This co-preaching on a Sunday morning, and when Jeremy first got hired, Pastor Carl actually asked him if I would be interested in preaching, and I was like, no, No way do I want to do that. So you might be wondering, like, why are you doing this now? Well, as Jeremy was preparing for his role while Pastor Carl was on sabbatical, I got the idea one day that maybe we could co-preach and do it together. Thought it might be a little less scary. So he suggested that maybe I preach with him as part of the Get Messy series, knowing the job that I have and some of my stories. And so a few days later, I was standing in my kitchen getting ready for school, packing lunches, when all of a sudden I started getting ideas that I just started speaking out loud, like for the series. This was a few months ago. And it was then that I knew that this is what God wanted me to do, that he wanted me to share with you this morning. So I do tend to be a little on the quieter side and a little more introverted than my amazing extroverted husband, who just has a gift for being able to talk to anybody. But I knew that God really wanted me to share with you this morning. God has given me many, many opportunities to get messy. I haven't always taken them. And remember, kids and youth, you've got opportunities about to come to you every day to make an impact, to reach out to people, to get messy. So I haven't always taken those opportunities, but sometimes I have. And it's not always easy, but the one thing that I do know is that it is always worth it.
So the school year is getting ready to start. Each year we like to say a prayer over those returning to school. And this year I hope that when you, if you're a student or a teacher or a staff person or anything, if you go back into a school building, I hope you remember what we talked about today, that you have the chance to get messy and share the good news of Jesus by living it out in relationship. So we want to take a couple of minutes and we want to pray over those people. So if, again, as my lovely wife asked you to stand earlier, students, we're going to ask you to stand up again if you're in elementary, middle, or high school, college, preschool, doesn't matter. We're going to ask you if you're a teacher to stand up. We're going to ask you if you're a school staff person to stand up, if you're an administrator. And then finally, we're going to ask if you're a parent to stand up as well, because we want to pray for you where you are. If you're sitting near someone, I invite you to extend a hand toward them, maybe put a hand on their shoulder so that we can pray over them today as they get ready to start back to school. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for teaching us about what it means to be carriers of hope and sharers of the gospel good news about Jesus. Thank you that your word tells us who we are as children of God, and that you've made each one of us, every person standing or sitting in this place, you've made each one of us as a masterpiece with a story to tell about the one who created us and continues to form us and shape us. Father, as the new school year begins, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present with every person standing in this room. Teachers, staff, administrators, students, and parents. For school staff of every kind, we pray, Lord, that you help them find ways to live out the love of Jesus in appropriate ways, enabling them to be true to their convictions while working within a system that isn't always friendly to spiritual beliefs. We pray that these leaders would be in the right place at the right time to care for those who need it most. For students, Lord, we pray that your hand will be on their relationships, that they will shine the light of your love to everyone they meet. Guard them from stress and anxiety, from fear or depression, from temptation and any kind of spiritual attack. Give them, Lord, the passion to know you, to own their faith, knowing that you have great plans for them. For parents, Lord, we ask for wisdom, for grace, patience, and kindness as they lead their families and help their children navigate a difficult world and all the demands of school. Father, we pray now, be over every academic, social, and spiritual situation that these people find themselves facing in the coming year. Help them to know that you're with them, that you are always at work. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, teachers, staff, students, parents, and the rest of us, I want to leave you with a challenge. You can be seated, guys, if you want. We are carriers of hope to the world, to every single person in our circle of influence. We are the church, and we are on a mission. Our mission is going to take us to messy places. Jesus says, be merciful. Will you do that? Can you do that in the coming months and days? You know, there's just one more opportunity this week to visit that mosaic that's out in the lobby, to add a piece that represents someone that you want to share Jesus with. Because I know that as we've had these conversations, people are telling me about who came to their mind that Jesus needs to be known in that person's life. So you have an opportunity to go add your piece to that canvas and pray for the chance to share the good news and live out the good news in the life of that person. That's how you and me carry the piece, our piece of the mission of the church out into the world. It might be messy sometimes, but like Sarah said, it's worth it. Now today, one last thing. Maybe you aren't someone who resonates with this message that we've just been talking about, because you're like, hey man, my life is the messy one. I'm the one who doesn't know what to do. I don't really know where I stand with God, or worse, I don't have a relationship with God at all. So if that's you, today I don't want to leave without telling you this good news that we've been talking about. God sent his one and only son, Jesus, to live here on earth and to share the heart of the Heavenly Father with us. Jesus showed love to the unlovable. He showed hope to the hopeless, care for the needy, and purpose for the struggling. Jesus was crucified on that cross that we talk about in order to show us that his love is bigger and stronger than any sin, any struggle, or any situation we face. When you put your trust in him, and when you decide to follow him, he transforms you from the inside out. And although I can't promise that your life won't still be messy sometimes, I can promise that you won't be alone and that you'll have more peace, more strength, more hope, because you know that this isn't all there is. This life isn't the end. The hope that we have through Jesus Christ is an eternal hope that when our time on earth is through, we will spend forever with him in heaven. Do you need that hope today? If you do, come find me or Sarah down front during this last song or after the service, and we will be glad to hear your story and to pray with you. Let's stand together and let's worship the Lord with one final song today.